Blog Talk Radio.
Thomas, the host of the Philosophy Show, and you can find it at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. Today is Thursday, April the 28th, 2016. It is 12:30 a.m., 9:30 p.m. Pacific time, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this episode 136. And the episode is called Renaissance, Feel the Burn. I say tomato, you say tomato, which is a subtitle. And so the last couple episodes, you know, I've just read off an article I've written. We've had a call or two. And I do invite you to give us a call. This is a call-in show. And the guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344. And this is a half an hour show once a week, same time. So today, I just finished another article here right before, like, literally like about 45 seconds before. Last time it took the entire show to read the article. I tried to get someone who called in, but for some reason the phone systems weren't working, so definitely feel free to call in. I think that's one of the best parts about the show, but this article is a little bit shorter, and so I should get through it quicker. And reason I'm dedicating that title to Bernie Sanders is not just Bernie Sanders, but the whole movement behind it, and even the movement of everyone wanting a change in the Trump camp, even, and just third parties and independents and everyone who wants that change. Even if you're supporters that want to change but are still going to vote for the establishment candidates, the status quo, Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz or someone like that, but because you think it's a safer bet, I think what Bernie has done has been great, and he's still continuing. So I'm going to read the article, and, you know, almost consider the person, I don't even know him, like a friend. I don't agree with everything he says, of course. I don't agree with anybody on everything. But you know, I think he should keep going. And I do think he has a path towards victory. And so I'll commence with the article that I wrote here. And I titled it The Burnaissance, like Renaissance, but Burnaissance. All right, so I start out here with a quote from John F. Kennedy. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that's from John F. Kennedy. So here we go. Was it pie in the sky to put a man on the moon? Question. Why am I writing this? Why haven't I given up yet and fallen in line and concluded that it will inevitably be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or some other Republican, and think that's just the way it is? Am I unrealistic if I say Bernie's campaign still has a chance, even though I look at the issues and not personalities? Because this is what I believe is right. Just like you might be married per se to your ideas, whether that be self preservation, loyalty to your family, right or wrong, whatever you think or embrace with what you know. I know this. There are 1,276 Democratic delegates remaining, and Clinton has a 333 pledged delegate lead, which means for Bernie to have more, he would need 333 plus half the remaining delegates, which would be, if you take the total, 1,276 minus 333, that'd be 943, and you divide that by 2, that's 471.5. So that would be half the remaining ones, 471.5. To win, you would need the 472 plus 333, and then that would equal 805. So he needs 805 out of the remaining 1,276, which is about 63% of the remaining delegates. And the states ahead favor Sanders, starting with Indiana. And they're about 1 week apart from each other. Could the issues matter and track records? Could people embrace a positive message 1 week at a time, all the way to the convention? What if people couldn't see the candidates or know their name? What if the voices in the debates were changed so both candidates had the same voice, or they just texted the answers, and all that we could see or hear is their stance on issues, their track records, and responses without knowing who was who? Would that be more objective and fair? Is that how ideally we should hire people? Maybe in the future, maybe we don't need to get to that drastic measure, but consider how we would react anyways. Do we want austerity or prosperity? Can Bernie convince people to show up and make plans a week or days in advance? So just in case polling locations close or open late, like they have been, to have a backup plan so every vote counts, and also so that what happened in New York and some other states doesn't happen again going forward. Can Bernie describe a renaissance and convince people it is within reach and worth our efforts? Can Bernie explain his carbon tax isn't just a tax to tax that many people expect from a tax and spend Democrats, nor is it just to compel conserve. Rather, it will make them proud knowing that the money from the carbon tax is going to go to, not going to go to the 0.1%, the super rich, the oligarchs, rather to us all via directly investing into solar for our future, which in the long run will more than pay for itself with lower electric bills, being less dependent on foreign wars, big utility companies, energy conglomerates, reducing demand for oil, which in turn will also make it more competitive, and that in return will reduce the price of goods and services to consumers. It'll make us more free and prosperous. If Hillary attacks Bernie, can he convince people of his track record? And should people rely on someone with the appearance of being crooked? In other words, does money corrupt and influence decisions? Has it for media? I mean, do you think, you know, the commercials influence, you know, who's making the paychecks? Can we find a direct correlation? And also observing it overall. When spouses of Secretary of State, like Bill Clinton, and the Clinton Foundation, their private charity, received large speaking fees and donations in the millions, after government contracts were approved via the Secretary of State from those very same beneficiaries, does that mean anything? This is being investigated right now, and Trump is ready to pounce on that issue of not being bought by the highest bidder. Who is the better candidate? Question mark. Do you want the status quo when a recent study from Princeton concluded quote, when a majority of citizens disagrees with economic elites and or with organized interests, they generally lose. Moreover, because of the strong status quo bias built into the U.S. political system, even when fairly large majorities of Americans favor policy change, they generally do not get it. Unquote. And there's a study proving that when majority of Americans want something, they don't get it. But when the majority of people in the 1% want something, they get it a lot more, about half the time. But we get it about 0% of the time whenever there's a majority that wants something. Usually. Or when they don't want something. Just the opposite. And the media and the Congress, do you want the status quo when the media and the Congress have a 6% approval rating? Is there a reason for that? Is Hillary the most qualified ever, being a Secretary of State and Senator, as people have been saying? Have there been others who have had more experiences than two positions before? Can Bernie court the electorate with ideas, with a bright and clear path forward? Is it time people will divorce themselves from in-the-box thinking and what can't be done to a newer normal, per se? Is Bernie ready to campaign for a renaissance? And are we, the people, ready to embrace that? Why would you expect any different? And that is it, the end. I also have a page on YouTube, youtube.com/blastoffreshair, and I'm working on some other ones, but I like to write articles, and I haven't put them all up on my website yet. It's number one, I don't have the expertise to create where you can make a comment section other. So, you have YouTube, you can use some other third parties. I do have a website, but you'll find the link to that from my YouTube site. But I keep it a very simple site, I also write, I have wrote in different other places. I guess there's the WordPress, there's a couple other places. And so I put all related links below. This was on the Tom Hartman forums. I've used some other ones in the past. I've used the Young Turks, InfoWars, various other ones. But this one seems, I don't agree with everything he says either, but I do respect him. And I think that's, give him a little shout out here. But the forums seem so far, pretty fair and able to express ideas. And there's a wide range of ideas and listeners from all different perspectives. So I feel like that's been a safe place to post my articles, and hope that continues. Anyways, I guess we have about 15 minutes left. So if you want to call in, do that. Otherwise, I'm going to read a response that I did to someone from my previous article that I read last week. But this is a response. Let's see. Let me just check this out. Okay. Let's see here. And I thought it was interesting. I thought I did an okay response here. But I had written it. Basically, if you listen to last week's show, you'll see that, and that article that I wrote about a week ago was called chance of a lifetime versus too much at stake. We won't get fooled again. And someone wrote back, there's a couple responses to this, and let's see, maybe it wasn't this one. Okay, here it goes. Yeah, I wrote an article kind of, you know, pretty much pro Bernie Sanders, and like I said, even though I don't agree with everything, I respect him, and I think he would be the best choice right now. And if he doesn't move on, I'll have to reevaluate that time. But anyway, so someone wrote to me, and I also explained in that article a little bit. This was 2 weeks ago, actually, that let's see here. They asked, let me see. I'm sorry, I'm kind of reading and, okay, so on that site, my tag name is Libertarian Progressive. And then someone responded to me, what is Libertarian Progressive? And then I wrote back, I gave a basic explanation about issues that libertarians and progressives agree upon, and wouldn't it be more practical basically to work on the issues that you agree upon, especially since those are the big major issues, like the amount that we spend on the military, that we could still have a strong military and probably cut that budget in half and use that to make us more financially responsible and invest in this country instead, and probably have a better foreign policy and more trade and prosperity, and invest in things that would make us less dependent on foreign oil and stuff like that, and still have a very robust military, the most robust, larger than the next five combined still. And also some other issues like the war on drugs, election reform, privacy, civil liberties, corruption out of politics, the bribery and special influences. And if you worked on those issues as a coalition, since everyone agrees upon that, then, you know, should unite to fix those issues, then we can argue about the things that we disagree about. So then he wrote back, and I wrote in there sometime like 8 years ago, I was supporting Ron Paul, and this year I'm supporting Bernie Sanders. And so he wrote back, Ron Paul, well, voted with the majority of the Republicans something like 98% of the time. And then so I gave him a response here. And I guess I'll just close out with this. There's no phone calls. And I wrote back, I'm not sure your point. You can have on the table 100 pennies, two of them made out of 100% gold, and the rest of the 98 pennies made out of 100% zinc. And those two pennies made out of gold would outweigh those 98 pennies made out of zinc. To me, ending the Unpatriot Act, the wars, and cutting our defense budget in half, the drug war, would outweigh most anything else, not only by trillions of dollars, but by morals and tenfold. Not to say there aren't other important issues like election reform, etc. You have to start somewhere. To me, those outweigh in leaps and bounds. We fight war over oil. We spend trillions on waste, so we can't afford many things and cause destruction instead of trade and prosperity for all and cause blowback. Plus, the military is one of the major polluters. The drug war has cost billions and supported a private prison industry and has probably broken more families than many policies ever. It is cruel and unusual. The Patriot Act gets rid of due process and emboldens the power that be to flip from being public servants to being in charge and treating us as subjects. Anyways, those are policies that President Ron Paul could have affected. Most other things would not have passed Congress. Also, it is good to reject the mainstream media, who is complicit as a fourth estates in all of this and not go with the chosen candidates they give us, but with someone who is moral, and not just anyone, of course. Anyways, that was back in 2008 and seems out of context to my main point. You took the first sentence of two paragraphs that followed, which if I copied and pasted again would be convoluted. So just look above in the previous response, but here's my response to what I am led to believe is a question, which maybe there is none. Number one, I don't believe that Ron Paul voted with the Republicans 98% of the time. Ron Paul voted against getting rid of Glass-Steagall, supported legislation with Barney Frank to legalize hemp and decriminalize cannabis. Ron Paul publicly stated he would free people in federal prison who were in there for drug-only reasons. Ron Paul voted against raiding the Social Security Trust Fund. Ron Paul voted against the Iraq War. He supported the Audit the Fed bill and voted against the Patriot Act. Was he perfect? Not to me. And I could make a list of that as well. Did he work for reform, though, from a principled stance? I personally believe so. I was also trying to point out that Bernie will be getting support across the board from independents and others like me, who's an independent. I was also making the point there is no Republican or Democrat anymore, and that eternal vigilance is what is required to have freedom. Personally, from the independent point of view, I see the main issue as breaking the two-party system and the box we are trying to be framed in from the media and powers that be. The first step against that in my lifetime was newsworthy was Ross Perot, who had a legit chance to win in 1992. Then people got distracted with the internet revolution, and the next step in that direction was with Howard Dean, who I think now seems sold out, and that his campaign didn't last long. It was hard for anyone to speak out in the error after 9/11 and the pretend patriotism that was going around. Then Ron Paul in 2008 was the next people's candidates, per se, who took the freedom mantle, and also Dennis Kucinich in that year, Mike Gravel from Alaska. Now it is Bernie Sanders. That's my perspective. I think not only do the issues matter, but the times they are in. I think sometimes, and I'm repeating myself here from the following two paragraphs from the quote that I'm responding to, but sometimes we might need reform in different ways. Sometimes it might be good to clean out the government when it gets too convoluted, and other times we might need to shore it up, or both. It depends on the program and et cetera. Sometimes I think a good right-wing candidate in a certain position might be a good thing, and other times a good left-wing one, per se, both with checks and balances. And based on what we have gotten so far, bank bailouts while letting the people suffer, endless wars, being ripped off in trade deals and et cetera, getting rid of nearly the entire Constitution, Patriot Act, et cetera, I'll take what I can get as far as the truth teller candidate of the time. The system is very corrupt, and sometimes a ray of hope has come from the left and the right. But ideally, there is no left and right, etc. And ideally, there are more candidates on the ballot and in debates. You have to prioritize, and the way to do that is on the issues that on all sides agree on. The single biggest issue by far is the wars, by the money that's spent and the defense budget, and there's nothing even close to that. It should be cut in half. We are supporting dictators across the world. The money in government contracts supports the powers that be. The media is empowered by it and the whole paradigm. Sometimes before an avalanche, you need to get it started. This would let us heal, regroup, and rethink and have money to accomplish much more. And resources of time and energy also, which we waste a lot of time of as well. Then the drug war and civil liberties. By the way, we're all related. Those issues are all related in a sense. And I think other issues will more so be able to follow after that. I think you have a point. Point number five. Perhaps it's not necessary. And it might even be distracting to name drop, because then people tend to focus on the personality rather than the issues, which is what I'm trying to avoid, and is the way the media and powers that be keep us distracted. The way you perceive Ron Paul and the way I did probably are not the same, just like the way you might perceive Bernie compared to a Hillary supporter. And then there's our whole life experiences. Also, perhaps you have had heated debates with Ron Paul supporters in the past, and now the name triggers bad memories, etc. And that is probably the same with Hillary or Sanders. One of my whole points is that is a problem with groups and identifying and being associated with them. Not everyone sees things the same, even though we all have senses and can see some things the same. You never know what is inside someone's minds or hearts or memories and associations. And nowadays, there are people out there who try to give a bad reputation on purpose as agent provocateurs. Personally, what I do believe in, and here are the issues regardless of personalities, ending the needless wars. We should spend as much as the next 5 countries combined instead of the next 10, and lead the world by example, and have our military lead the way in alternative energy instead of fighting for oil, too. I support ending the drug war, and we should empty the prisons of drug people, and so that way rapists and killers don't go early. Or at all. I support defending the Constitution and getting rid of the Patriot Act and calling out people who did vote for it. I support public options that are voluntary, like the post office, which pays for itself, a Medicare for all public option, public education, environmental protection, food standards. I support reforming the justice system, getting rid of quotas for police, prosecutors also, requiring police body cameras, recognizing the right to videotape all public servants, implementing an independent citizen review and internal affairs, getting rid of private prisons, having a trigger effect when a public official kills someone to be investigated by the Justice Department. I support reforms to government contracts, and I support election reform, rank voting, public funding, equal time in debates for all candidates who are on the ballot in enough places to statistically win, making the first Tuesday of November, or whenever Election Day is, a national holiday. And polls open 24 hours and transparent, same-day registration, open primaries. I support investing in the future, NASA, new technologies, research, health, etc., infrastructure, a massive amount in solar, so we can have solar in every home. I support a complete auditing of every nook and cranny of the government, making it transparent, using an open source approach and ways for people to be heard and whistleblowers to be protected and more. I support having a public bank, put the Federal Reserve under the Treasury, allow competing private banks too, of course, and currencies. Public options don't get rid of private ones if they can compete, and only public options for things like the commons, where there's a need and the majority supports and it pays for itself. If you had a public bank and I support a guaranteed annual income, which could get rid of the minimum wage and a lot of red tape and taxes completely, and have a guaranteed annual income, let the marketplace choose the best products, which I think is much more capitalist and socialist in the same breath. But more importantly, honest and efficient. The system would be from the bottom up instead of top down and still reward those with good ideas. I support getting rid of the patents and copyrights as we know it. The only thing, though, is instead of preventing others from not using it, I would say for 10 years they would need to pay the inventor or creator like 10% of profits. So it would still incentivize inventors to patent and copyright, but they wouldn't be able to hoard it for themselves. Nor later let that be captured by corporations. This would open floodgates to many good things because maybe someone is good at inventing but not so good at manufacturing or publicity, but they would still get the rewards if someone else is good at those things. It's a win-win for everyone instead of a win-lose. I support reparations. I think it would go right back to the economy, unlike the bank bailouts, and help many people as well as our whole country. Psychologically and spiritually, and reduce welfare, etc., not cost more than one of the major wars. We'd have a boom economically and would also trickle up and set down. Many people would start businesses. I support opening up land to individuals to homestead. And so if you agree with those issues, or many of them, great. And that has been the Philosophy Show today. So thank you for listening, and take care. We'll see you next, hear from you, or talk to you next week.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.